Welcome to the View My Seats podcast for Wednesday, February 18th. I'm your host, John Lord. My guest this afternoon, Viv Bernstein, is a freelance journalist and contributor to the New York Times and Bleacher Report. Her latest piece for the Times focused on NASCAR driver Tony Stewart's planned resurgence after two tumultuous years. Viv, welcome to the View My Seats podcast, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. Happy to be here.
Will Tony Stewart ever regain the form that made him one of the most decorated drivers in NASCAR history?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that. I don't know that anybody has that answer right now. I think we're all sort of waiting to see what's going to happen this year. Tony, as you said, has had two very difficult years, but as I wrote in the story for the Times, he is not 100% healthy going into this season. I don't know if that's going to impact the way he drives. He and his crew chief still have some work to do to be on the same page in building the kinds of race cars that will be competitive for him. So there are an awful lot of questions going into this season. Having said all that, it would not surprise me one bit if Tony Stewart won the Daytona 500.
Do you find that Tony Stewart was always kind of a polarizing driver before last summer, but since the accident in upstate New York last August when Kevin Ward Jr. Was killed on the track, has Tony Stewart become even more of a hero/villain in the world of NASCAR?
I think less of a villain, more of a human being. I think the NASCAR community gathered around him and embraced him and supported him through that very difficult time. He's always going to have fans who love him and don't like him as a racer, but they do see him as one of their own, and I think the entire community embraced Tony.
Well, that's interesting because you just referenced the NASCAR community, and my outsider's perspective is, you know, when I tune in to NASCAR, you know, the highlights that I'm shown, and I guess this is the role of a highlight producer is to show me kind of the conflict. But what I see is I see a lot of drivers arguing with one another, both on and off the track. I'm wondering, how strong is that NASCAR community? Is it like other sports where there is this fraternity that exists both on and off the track?
I think it's more than other sports among the true faithful. And I think the problem with NASCAR is there aren't enough of that true faithful to broaden its popularity nationally. But if you look at, say, Southeastern Conference football, that's not just football. There's a whole world that's just focused on that sport in that conference. And they tailgate and they go on websites and they build networks to support that fan base. And NASCAR is somewhat similar. It has a very focused Southern fan base. It does have a national following, but it is very much a community. These are people that come with their RVs and spend, you know, at Daytona, they're there for over a week. Some folks come down, and the same in Charlotte. They'll stay here for a week and a half just following their drivers. Yeah, it's not like all sports. It's very much a community, and they're very much together, even though you'll see them fighting on the track, and they'll have their disagreements. But they're all in this together to build the sport.
Yeah, that's interesting about building the sport, and I know we're kind of veering away from Tony Stewart. We'll get back there. But as far as growing the sport goes, you know, NASCAR ratings were down, have been down for a little while. And I'm wondering, are NASCAR drivers aware of those ratings, of perhaps, let's just say, waning national interest in their sport? And what types of things can be done by drivers and fans of NASCAR to appeal to a more wider audience? Is this something that they're interested in, or is it just something that they're happy to be part of this community and they're not really too concerned with those that don't look at their sport as something that they want to watch?
Oh, very much the opposite. They are intimately concerned with the fan base and growing NASCAR as a sport. They see themselves as all together in building this sport. And yes, the ratings have been flat and declined, and that's of interest to everybody in the sport. Yeah, they're all working towards growing this sport. And NASCAR has made very specific moves to help try and grow the sport. We'll have to see if it succeeds. They've changed their playoff format to make it more dramatic. And in fact have turned off some of their longtime fans by doing that, but in the hope that it will create those kinds of game seven moments where, they become must-see TV. NASCAR has also, worked diligently to try and diversify its garage, to have minority drivers there to look more like America, because they need to build their fan base. NASCAR has an aging white male fan base, and their future is in bringing in young people, bringing in diverse fan bases, whether they're African American, whether they're Asian. They have a driver, Kyle Larson, who is a great hope to be one of their next great champions. He's Japanese American. They're hoping the Asian market sees him. They have a young driver named Darrell Wallace Jr., a black driver who they hope will be embraced and will draw a black fan base to NASCAR that they're lacking right now. So NASCAR is trying. They want to grow, and everyone in the sport is very much aware of ratings and sponsorship. They very much understand the business aspect. Unlike, say, a Marshawn Lynch, who really doesn't understand the business of the NFL, because if he did, he would not have these battles with the media. He would understand the media is there to be used to help market the sport and grow the NFL. Marshawn Lynch doesn't see himself as being part of that marketing effort. In NASCAR, every single driver knows he is or she is part of that marketing effort.
And that's very interesting, because a lot of that could be to have to do with the size and scale of a NFL and how firmly entrenched is in the popularity of this country, where Marshawn Lynch can get away with that kind of behavior because the sport is bigger than Marshawn Lynch, whereas with NASCAR, it is still developing, it is still evolving, and these drivers have to do all they can to represent the sport in the best light, to sell the sport in the best light possible.
However, let me interrupt you and
yes.
Say this. If Marshawn Lynch had a big poster on his jersey that said Lowe's Home Improvement or Home Depot or Sprint Cars, those companies would tell him, hey, you have to talk to the media. You are part of our marketing effort. Therefore, be nice. You
can't
do this. And at some point down the road, the NFL is going to be like NASCAR, just as the NBA is going to have more logos on their uniforms and other sports are going to have more logos on their uniforms. As corporate America becomes more visible in these sports, corporate America is going to have more power to influence athletes like Marshawn Lynch to work towards the marketing effort instead of against it.
Well, comparing Marshawn Lynch to a NASCAR driver is really interesting, because when he got up on the podium during the NFL, the Super Bowl media day, he caught a lot of criticism, not just from the media, but from the NFL as well, for obviously not saying a lot, but also wearing a unsanctioned hat. He was representing his own company, his Beast Mode company. And you were referencing, when you represent businesses and corporations on your uniform, then you will do as they tell you. But, he ended up selling more hats than they could keep in stock for his own company, and the NFL didn't like that very much.
Well, as corporations start becoming more visible in sports like the NFL, they'll start becoming more powerful. And what folks will begin to understand, and I don't know if this will happen in the NFL the way it has in NASCAR, but your ability to market yourself is equally important to your ability to race a stock car. I mean, Danica Patrick is in NASCAR. Now, look, she is a talented driver. She's won a race. She's been competitive. However, she is not at the same level as the top drivers in NASCAR, but she is in top equipment because she does such a great job of marketing, of bringing eyeballs to the sport. That's why they love Danica Patrick and want her to succeed. And I wonder if that will happen in the NFL, where at some point they're going to hire people, in part based on how well they sell the sport, along with how well they play the sport.
It's certainly happening in other sports. Maybe the NFL doesn't need to make that change, but you know, you hear about the NBA that's going to start to put advertisers' logos on their jerseys, and certainly soccer in this country has. So it isn't far away. You know, NASCAR is like many sports in this country. It has a certain audience, and you referenced that audience. You said that the majority of NASCAR fans are older white men, and that's a common challenge that other sports in this country are facing. Sports like golf and baseball are facing similar problems where they need to diversify their audience. They need to find a more diverse, younger audience. And in the case of NASCAR, I'm wondering if one of NASCAR's problems in finding that more diverse audience is the perception that NASCAR represents a lot of the political tumult in this country, where you have kind of a red state, blue state type feeling that surrounds NASCAR, where it's almost as if the fan base is representative of one of the Americas. What are your feelings on that?
Well, that's a multi-pronged sort of conversation to have about the NASCAR fan base. Certainly, there are a lot of Southern fans, Southern conservative fans in this sport. The Republican Party has embraced NASCAR, has supported NASCAR, and its fan base has embraced the Republican Party and supported it. However, within the sport, there are some drivers that are Democrats. There are some media that are Democrats. I think it's portrayed as one thing, and it's a little bit more diverse than what it is viewed as.
So therefore, Democrats who are covering the sport, racers who are covering the sport, or who are competing in the sport, we're not talking about there being a huge divide, but there is this perception that there is a divide because of what we perceive to be where the fan base is coming from.
Yeah, I think it is a perception. I think it's partially true. I don't think it's 100% true. I think what you're also going to find in NASCAR is a sense that a lot of them don't want to talk about politics because they don't want to be seen as choosing sides. I think they want to avoid controversy. Remember, they're representing corporations. Corporations don't want controversy, so therefore you're not going to get a whole lot of talk of politics in NASCAR. However, their fan base is viewed as very political, very right-wing, very conservative. Again, I think it's a bit of a stereotype, but to some degree it's true.
You know, you continue to mention corporations and how corporations are heavily involved in the advertising and the representing of drivers in NASCAR. Because NASCAR is facing somewhat of a downturn in their in how many people are watching on television, are there advertisers, are there sponsors that are kind of questioning their investment in NASCAR?
Oh, God, yes. Well, that happens all the time. Most significantly, they are losing their premier sponsorship. The Sprint company, the telephone
yes.
company,
yes.
Has represented their Sprint Cup, has paid for their Sprint Cup for the last 10 years or so. They are pulling out when their contract's done. I'm now having to think whether it's at the end of 2016. That it will no longer be the Sprint Cup. So they are now in the market for a new name sponsor for their premier series. So yes, sponsorships pull out all the time. Home Depot has pulled out to some degree. I think they still have a small sponsorship, but nowhere near what they had years ago. UPS is another one that's reduced its sponsorship significantly over the years. And then others have come in and upped their sponsorship. So there's always that ebb and flow. But sponsorship is the lifeblood of NASCAR, unlike the NFL, unlike other sports. Sponsorship is intertwined with the success of NASCAR. And without it, the sport can't exist in the way it exists today.
I'm talking with Viv Bernstein, freelance journalist who's latest piece on Tony Stewart was in the New York Times last weekend. And getting back to Tony Stewart, has he ever opened up publicly about what happened in New York last August?
He is, I think, not going to talk specifically about what happened in that race car, what he's seen, why he did what he did. I think he's chosen not to discuss that. I don't know if that's because there are potential legal ramifications based on what he says. He wants to move on. He's not going to talk about it. Tony does not open up to a lot of people. He's very reserved around media. He's very careful in what he says. He's very combative with the media. I think every reporter in NASCAR has battled with him, and I've had more than my share, believe me, of battles with Tony. He's very careful with what he says, and I don't know that we're ever going to get the full story of what happened in that race car, what he saw, why that accident occurred. I don't know that he'll ever talk about that.
But you said earlier that you would not be altogether surprised if Tony Stewart performed quite well this weekend at the Daytona 500. And I guess that would be somewhat of a surprise to a lot of race fans who have been following the sport for the last few years because he hasn't had good years. What gives you confidence that he'd be able to perform well this weekend?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. First of all, Daytona is very different from most races in NASCAR. Just because of the kinds of cars they drive, it's a race that anybody can win, number one, not necessarily the most dominant cars. Number two, he's in a very strong race car. His cars are built by Hendrick Motorsports, and Hendrick Motorsports dominates NASCAR. So he's in a very good race car. And he's in a race that anybody can win. So it's really almost luck sometimes that determines who wins the Daytona 500. Tony has been very good driving these race cars and driving at Daytona, and it's a very glaring absence in his resume that he has not won the Daytona 500 before. I tend to think the odds are that eventually he will win this race just because he's been so very good at Daytona, and he hasn't, for a variety of reasons, hasn't won this race. There's no reason to think he can't win this race on Sunday.
How big of a deal was it that Jeff Gordon won the pole for his final Daytona 500 on Sunday?
Big of a deal to who? To Jeff? I think it's huge for a lot of reasons. Jeff, you know, he has made clear that he might race again down the road, possibly at Martinsville, as a part-time driver, but he will never race Daytona again. So this is his last, or race the Daytona 500 again. He does have another race at that track in July, but this is his last Daytona 500, and he's going to start it on the pole. I think that's a very big deal to him. I think it's a very big deal to NASCAR because they get to promote Jeff Gordon for another week. They are going to use this opportunity, this last year of Jeff Gordon's career, to market the sport as much as they can, and this certainly will help them in that regard.
And I was going to say, you know, Jeff Gordon is representative of the polarizing effect of NASCAR, because as a non-NASCAR fan, I know Jeff Gordon. That name, you know, has some cachet, has some appeal for me. But I get the sense that those within NASCAR have some interesting feelings about Jeff Gordon. Throughout his career, has there been resentment for his kind of crossover appeal?
Not at all. They loved his crossover appeal. They've been waiting for a guy to come along to have that crossover appeal. Jeff Gordon has helped transform NASCAR from a Southern sport to a national sport. Jeff has played a role in bringing a more diverse, more national fan base. He has ultimately played a role in NASCAR being able to generate these billion-dollar television contracts. He has played a role in all of that, and I think everybody in NASCAR understands how important Jeff Gordon is to the sport.
Other drivers, though, is there a sense that as he, I don't want to, so that perception of him as an outsider isn't fair. Has he always been embraced by other drivers, or has there been resentment for his success for that crossover appeal, or is that something that perhaps I read too much into?
I think you probably read a little bit too much into that. I think much was made of when he arrived in NASCAR. He was the new guard versus Dale Earnhardt, the old guard. And that rivalry that they tried to build in the 90s certainly helped fuel the popularity of the sport. I think over the years, Southern fans have resented Jeff to some degree. I remember when he, I believe he won a race at Talladega that allowed him to pass Dale Earnhardt Sr. in career victories, and the fans there threw beer cans at his race car as he was celebrating afterwards. So yeah, he's a bit polarizing. He'll always be the boy wonder to a lot of Southern fans who love Dale Earnhardt and absolutely hate Jeff Gordon because he's the anti-Dale. So there's always that, but that has always helped NASCAR. That has always helped market the sport that he was the white hat and Dale Earnhardt was the black hat. Now, having said that, not everybody wants to treat Jeff Gordon like he's a king. He got into a scrap with a driver, Brad Keselowski, during last year's playoff, and Brad wouldn't give an inch to Jeff Gordon, and I think there was some friction there, and I think some of that friction remains with other drivers who are not going to allow Jeff Gordon to parade around the track without them challenging him.
How long before we see an electric car in the Daytona 500?
Oh gosh!
Because that is certainly a way to depoliticize, to incorporate all of America.
You know, it's funny. NASCAR has made a diligent effort to try and be perceived as a green industry. I know that's sort of hard, auto racing, but they have done things like they used to have leaded gas, and now they have cleaner gas. They're working to build an image as a clean industry. I know that's sort of strange. NASCAR, as I've mentioned before, their corporate partners are critical to the success of NASCAR, and in this case, Ford and Chevrolet and Toyota are critical to their success. If those three companies stop selling cars with gas in them and only sell cars with electric engines in them, then you will see an electric Daytona 500. Because if that's the car they want to sell, that's what NASCAR will put on the track. When that day comes, and ultimately it may come, I don't know.
But we shouldn't expect to see Elon Musk of Tesla as a crew chief anytime soon.
No, I suspect not, no.
Viv Bernstein, last question for you, and I'll let you go. Who wins this weekend's Daytona 500? Put you on the spot with an easy one.
You know, I don't like making predictions.
Okay.
But no, I really don't. This is the one race, one of the few races of the year. There are four of them at these very specific tracks there, where the race cars have restrictor plates on them that limit their power. It's very hard to predict who wins those races. It often comes down to who's in the right place at the right time. I guess if I was going to pick somebody, I would probably pick Kevin Harvick because he seems to always be there at the end, and he won last year's championship. It would not surprise me one bit if Kevin Harvick opened the season by winning the Daytona 500.
Well, I'm sorry to put you on the spot. We could have just said that you wouldn't have been surprised if Tony Stewart won.
Well, again, I wouldn't be surprised if about 20 cars in that field won. Tony would certainly, that would certainly send a message that he's back as a driver. But I'd be a little surprised, but not totally surprised if he won. But again, it could be Jeff Gordon. It could be Jimmy Johnson. It could be Dale Earnhardt Jr. It could be a lot of guys. Very, very difficult to predict who wins that race.
Well, Viv Bernstein, enjoy the Daytona 500 this weekend, and thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
Have a great day.
You too.